All right.
Hello, welcome to Strange Movies with Kevin and Greg. Kevin, and as you can hear, I'm with Greg.
Hello. We are in the same room. We're recording in the same room for the first time ever. So let's see how this goes.
And tonight we're talking about the movie Ricky O, the story of Ricky.
Yes, we're talking about this film. I watched this so long ago now, it feels like we're here. We are here. As usual, apologies for the delay in between shows. There's so much going on. I'm getting married in a few weeks. Everything's just a bit up in the air. I've been moving house. I have been just so fucking busy, man. My fucking career and just my stag dude and
life in general.
My ongoing addiction to painkillers.
You don't have addiction to painkillers.
I've got toothache. I've got a really bad addiction to painkillers at the minute. Okay, so what's been happening? Not a lot. But well, everything, but not my concern. You guys, really, it's been boring. It's been loads of cardboard boxes, debating what not to throw out. Not a lot we're throwing out, to be fair. So, yeah, Kev, do I just jump right into this?
I will. I've got my notes up here. Ricky O, the story of Ricky is, well, the story of Ricky, as he is sent to prison. And
for a crime he did not commit. Actually, he did commit the crime, so he had to get an 18 line in there.
And what follows is one of the most brutal, glorious Kung Fu films ever to grace.
It's a fucking shit show. It's mental.
This is like the first time you've ever seen a Hong Kong action film, isn't it?
It really is. Well, I thought a Hong Kong action film would sound like, I don't know, Internal Affairs or something like that. This, I don't know what the fuck this was.
It was insanely violent, what it was.
It was insanely violent, comically violent. It was just heavy fucked up, man.
It really was. I mean, like, people absolutely just get obliterated in this film. Like, good guys, bad guys, doesn't matter. You're getting brutally destroyed.
Yeah. I can easily see this being, like, an inspiration for games like Mortal Kombat down the line, where the goal was to kill your opponent in the most gruesome way possible.
It was an influence on Mortal Kombat. They've gone on record on saying that.
See, I've done my research.
The film was based on a Japanese manga of the same name, and this was made in China.
Okay, for anyone that doesn't know, can you explain what manga is?
It's Japanese comic books.
Very well explained.
I mean, basically, it's a more simple answer, you know, like, simple answers are always the best answers.
Simple answers for simple people, or from simple.
I mean, the film is, he goes to jail and he has to fight through the Gang of Four and the assistant warden. And it's just brutal. I mean, there's like a scene where like a guy gets the face of his lip up to his nose just peeled off. And there's a fat guy named Zorro who gets, you know, punched, his stomach punched through.
He gets done heavy, man.
Oh, right. And there's a scene where one of the bad guys cuts open his own stomach to strangle Ricky to death with his own intestines.
We've all done that at some point. Yeah. We've all been there. We've all done that.
Yeah. Some people call that foreplay. But anyway.
Jesus.
You know, don't only want these dark jokes.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
And let's discuss your little black book a moment later.
Okay. So, you got any trivia or whatever?
Trivia? No, absolutely not. I am just, as somebody who watched the film, I just went into it completely blind. Didn't know what I was going to be watching. Still not 100% sure what I was watching, but it was an hour and a half. And you know how I feel about that? 90 minutes is the best minutes. It told the story quite coherently. It was a decent enough story. It was formulaic. It was what you'd expect for these kind of jailbreak type movies. I believe there was actually a Stone movie called Jailbreak at some point. Anyway, but peppered in between was just this out of this world, mindless, brutal violence, which, let's say, was so over the top, it was comical. So it was hard to take it seriously. Because there was a quite serious film in there somewhere, I think, but this is not the road they went, and I think it actually worked in their favour because it stands out for anything I've ever seen. You said Hong Kong action films are like this in general, but it's certainly, it's not something I'd go and watch every week, but you know, I was in the right mood. It's an easy watch. It's a good way to kind of kill some time and have a good laugh.
It's an excellent Saturday night pizza fella.
I don't know if you watch your pizza watching that.
Well, you know me, like, the sort of, like, thing you put on, like, last Saturday night, if we're drinking a few pizza now, and just have a good time. It's not demanding you anything, it's not going to change your world, it's just fun. And that's the best thing a film like this can ever be.
Yeah, I think so. That's a really good point. Leave your brain at the doorstep. Which, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you probably have to brain at the fucking doorstep anyway, let's be honest. But yeah, just don't go in expecting.
The Shawshank Redemption.
So yeah, I leave your brain at the door. Don't go in expecting the Shawshank Redemption. Don't go in expecting Doctor Strangelove. Go in with an open mind. Again, I wouldn't be eating pizza watching this if you're squeamish. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Aside from Mickey, who was your favourite character in the film?
Oh, I hated them all equally, but I love how that these it was obviously a dub version we watched, and it was all these Chinese men, and they were giving them names like Dave, Bob, Alan. It was trying, obviously trying to westernize it as much as possible, which is kind of comical in my eyes. Just it was very much set in China, Chinese film, and with these Western names, which gave me a bit of a giggle. As far as characters go, I'll tell you who I hated was that little fucking governor's kid. He freaked me out. He's this wee fat. There's that Augustus Gloop in China.
I watching the film is like hard to tell, is he an adult with mental issues or is he supposed to be a really annoying fat kid?
I'm an adult baby. I'm an adult baby. I just thought of him as a really annoying fat kid. You made me think of it as a whole different way. Maybe it was like the governor's sex toy or something.
Oh, you just made him even more darker.
He kept calling him son instead of daddy.
Yeah. I was talking about the warden.
He's weird son who he's maybe fucking.
You always go to that, don't
What can I say? I'm saying nothing. I'm just getting incriminating myself.
Sorry about my brother's dog sense of humor there.
Or other people.
Yeah, and at the end of the film, like the warden, like he turns into like a Hulk, doesn't he?
It does, but it ends up with a pound of mints. So
More than a pound of mints.
there's a big. I mean, you could make bolognese for life with this one.
And so much big blood was used in that scene, like the actors couldn't wash it off for 3 days.
Really?
Yeah.
That's actually pretty interesting. What happened to you? Well, you believe it. I told you, this Chinese guy called Dave covered me in fake blood, and then I turned his boss into mints.
Fun weekend.
Yeah. How's your Jubilee going?
Yeah, this film had an unofficial sequel in 2001 called Super Powerful Man, which again starred the main actor of this film, Fan Xu Wong.
Fan Xu Wong, how fans never broke into Hollywood with these acting skills like that.
Yeah, I mean, this was a very cult hit. It's a cult hit. It's a perfect cult film. And another bit of trivia, apparently John Hopkins University retains the film in its medical reference library for anatomical study due to how graphic it was.
GHU, man, GHU.
Not many films can say that.
Go Koalas. I don't know if that's a mascot or not, but
Koalas?
Koalas.
And another character I really support about like as the assistant warden.
Yes, he gets his comeuppance quite early.
He's an interesting guy, like a big fat guy with like a fake eyeball where he keeps like drugs in and has a hook for a hand. Yeah, eats raw meat in his office and sits behind a massive shelf of porn.
I know a guy like that, but
Yeah.
yeah,
Eat,
never seen
eats.
the park when you. It's the sky, the early sky. Might have banged his sister. Anyway, carry on. But the warden, for this, the assistant warden for the most part, for the first half, anyway, was probably the main antagonist, I would say.
Who's letting a gang, a criminal gang in the jail, sell opium drugs to help run this prison?
So yeah, he was running a pretty corrupt, not a syndicate, but he was not a nice guy at all.
And the fact, a private prison wouldn't do anything like that.
Not at all. Support your local prison.
What was your favourite fight in the film?
There was one with a toy train.
Oh, yes, the opening scene in the shower
And the
scene.
shower. Of course, I went for the shower scene.
Just exposing yourself to everyone on the how weird you are.
Best shower scene since. No, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not doing that joke. Best shower scene since Psycho.
I thought the best fight scene was between Ricky and Oscar. That's the one where the guy cut his guts out to try to strangle Ricky to death.
In fairness, it's going to be hard to top that. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, one of the first scenes in your fight scenes in your film, it's gotta be hard to top it.
Banging all the way after that.
I mean, and the film does go to extreme places, like
Oh, it does.
the fight between Ricky and Tarzan. That was something.
Yeah.
When they're covered in concrete and had like the freaking ceiling coming down on them.
Oh, that's right. They buried him alive as well.
I
I wouldn't like that.
No one like getting buried alive. It's not a nice thing. A horrible thing. It's like one of my greatest fears of getting buried alive. Apparently, this was the first film in Hong Kong to get a Category 3 rating for violence alone, which is the equivalent of the 18 here.
Wow, I thought it was for abuse of mincemeat. But so that, when was this film again? Was it? It was early 90s, was it not? Or was it?
1991, I
Well, that's
think.
about as early as the 90s you can get, yeah. So if you look at like some of the films that were coming out in early 90s here, like in 91, we were getting Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, and they were getting giant Chinese man gets stunned at the immense while his schoolboy sexually around son watches.
You're really sticking to that, aren't you?
Tell you, your son's not right there. Sounds not right. If there's a child line in China, I'd be falling that China line. Check it out. Keep going.
Oh my God, I'm gonna get yelled at by weirdos on the internet.
Yes, that's my favorite kind of thing. I'd come and join my OnlyFans, where you can look at me putting mayonnaise on my feet. Actually, I've got a patent pending for this. It's going to be me just selling foot porn, right? And I'm going to call it Just Feet.
Now that everyone's lost their lunch, I do have an ad bed for you.
How's that about feet?
No. I do a fight between Mickey and Brandon, and I'm a member of the Gang of Four, but they're fighting in front of like a big roaring fire. And apparently the heat from the fire was so intense that the actor who played Brandon started to suffer burns on the back of their neck, and that just from how hot it was.
What a redneck that is. Wow.
And that when you think about it, that is something I don't think would happen on most films nowadays.
Unless it's that Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, and well, we fuck our Baldwin.
Amazing it is.
I mean, a lot of this stuff was done practically, right? Practical effects and all that, and you know me, Greg. I love practical effects. I think they are generally one of the more impressive things a film can do.
I do know you, and that's the first thing I say when people ask about you. How's your brother? I was like, well, he fucking loves practical effects. He's still a practical effects aficionado. That's the first thing I say when people go, how are kids getting? I was like, do you know what? If it wasn't for the practical effects, he wouldn't have went through the lockdown. Carry on.
Yeah, thanks for that.
I like being here in person. This is really good. I can see the horror in your eyes more vividly than the kind of camera.
Oh, this is my everyday, folks.
I heard someone say you're a very lucky man.
I mean, you can tell like practical effects are more impressive.
Are we back with the practical
Yeah,
effects? All right, cool.
and like stage blood, like what they're using here, I think is looks a million times better than like that fake CGI blood they use sometimes.
Or you could just go restless and start bleeding yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen like the fake CGI blood, and you know how
Yes, I
shy that
have.
looks.
Yes, I've done that. It looks rubbish. Practical effects, and I'm doing here, I'm taking the piss a bit, but practical effects do come across much better.
CGI ages like cheese. It's at the best time. I'm glad to go first. This age great, I think,
I like cheese.
Yes, you do.
But yeah, I think that's, I mean, it's evident in films. CGI's got its time and place, but practical effects do better. You look, go to the beginning of Star Wars, for example, where you see the ships flying. That still looks impressive today. And then when you start putting all the CGI shit in the films, that's what ruined them for many people. Jabba the Hutt looking like a tightly coiled dog shit.
I think that was supposed to be a purpose because he was supposed to be looking like nasty and all that, wasn't he?
Well, I suppose, but the puppet looks so much better.
Aye, and another thing I like about this film like is fight scenes because like I said, the Hong Kong movies have unbelievable fight scenes, which are just miles better than a lot of the stuff Hollywood does nowadays.
So the thing is, the fight scenes were good. There was no denying that fight scenes were really good. But it's hard to take them seriously with the outcome of fight scenes, like if somebody gets their head kicked off and blood spurting out like a fountain in San Antonio or Ibiza, or so I mean, something like you see somebody using entrails for skipping rope. It's hard to get, you actually maybe lose the appreciation for the actual fight scenes themselves, which were very, very real looking.
I mean, a lot of the actors were trained in martial arts.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's evident. That was totally evident. Like I say, it's just, you know, it's like, I don't know what it's like. It's like being at somebody's funeral, all serious, and then something happens that causes people to laugh. Do you know what I mean? You're taking everything in, and it's all solemn and serious, and then the next thing you're like, what the fuck? And that's what you focus on, not what happened before. But yeah, that's the first thing that came to my head. I've been thinking a lot about death recently.
Oh, is everyone?
I feel it tapping me in the shoulder something.
Okay,
I think
then.
it all started back in 1991.
I don't know much more I can say about the film, like aside from we highly enjoyed it, and
We did that again, but we should point out this is one we watched in the same room as well, because usually we will get a list of the films, we'll watch them individually, and they'll come together and talk about it. Whereas this one, we actually watched it in the same room. It was a while ago, and just recorded a podcast reviewing this a while back, and I've just moved into the new place and my mic wasn't set up, so it looks like I've got a new mic. So it looks like these in-person podcasts can become the norm for a week, Kev. You look delighted about that. You look absolutely thrilled.
Oh, God,
Maybe it could take 5 minutes for each podcast just to talk about my play and how it's coming along. And me, I'm looking at Patreon for like an online web exclusive performance. I play all the characters, by the way. It's a one-man show that'll make you laugh, it'll make you think, but most of all, it'll make you want to drink.
it's like this podcast.
Very much.
Yeah. So, yeah, the film, we both, do you recommend it?
Oh, definitely. Well, I'd recommend it, but the caveat is I'd recommend it if you're looking for something like a popcorn movie. Just like you say, you keep saying a pizza movie, but the pizza just reminds me of the entrails. But a popcorn movie, just a Saturday night, you've got a couple of hours to kill. You know what? If you came back from the pub and you fancy sticking something on, this would be the one. I think being under the influence of something would be a very beneficial factor to people watching this film. It would enhance it, I would say.
I highly recommend the film. It's a great time. It's a great time. It's just an absolute great time all across the board.
Yeah, Kevin, obviously, I enjoyed it. You obviously enjoyed it more than me. But it's not said I didn't enjoy it at all. I'm not sharing the film at all. I really enjoyed what I watched, but like I say, I wouldn't be going back every week to watch a Hong Kong action movie. But when the mood struck me, yep, this is one I'd highly recommend.
And if you want to check out the film yourself, it's available on DVD and Blu-ray. There's a nice big box collector set from 88 Films. That's the one we watched, and I highly recommend that if you want to get the film. So yeah.
So yeah, I think that's going to do us for this edition of Strange Movies. I know I've picked up a few more subscribers to Spotify and Twitter over the last few while. I have been looking at the analytics, even though I have not been actively recording. So that's really good. Really appreciate you guys being here. And we will be back sooner than you think with more Strange Movies. Like I say, I am getting married in the next few weeks. So after that, as the summer plays out, you might find it's a bit sparse in between podcasts. But as there's a dark night drawing, we're going to be with you, we're going to be your companions, we're going to be recording a lot more. And we've got a lot to talk about, is that right?
Yep, we got a massive list of films to get fixed.
Honestly, it's massive. I might live long enough to get through this list, but hey, you never know. But yeah, that's going to do us for this week, guys. So until the next time, thank you for listening to Strange Movies. My name is Greg, he has been
Kevin, and take care.
Cheers, guys. Bye bye.